Thank you. About every other week for the last 3 months, we have come up to our home 10 young men that are either in college or have just graduated. We come together and we study. We share, and they've been sharing with me some of their struggles that they have, difficulties that they have as they are in college, and things that they struggle with as they walk through this life as Christians. And so we begin to pray about them, and they said, Steve, we understand that we've been saved. We understand that we have been adopted, and we took up 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. They said, we understand that. We understand that the God, and we went through the different characteristics of God, some of the names of God, what God meant to them in their lives. They said, but how come we don't always feel like we're part of the family? How come we don't feel that way? I said, well, maybe it's because we don't appreciate it. Maybe we don't understand what adoption is to God. And so in the last couple of weeks, I've been looking up on the internet everything about adoption. We have a couple in our assembly that have adopted 2 young children. And I looked up many different stories from the U.S., from Canada, from throughout the world. And the more I read about adoption, the more I understood this. Here on earth, physical adoption, adoption that we have, as human beings, you know, there's good stories and there's bad stories. There's stories of adoption that people have abused children. There's stories of adoption where people have adopted children simply for fame or for wealth. And there are wonderful stories of adoption. But as I begin to read the Word of God and more about adoption that I might share it with them, oh, you know what? I realized that I had been missing out. I'd realized that in my, just a short little bit that I could understand and take in, I opened up to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to spend a little bit of time there this morning. And as I looked at those first few verses in Ephesians 1, my conclusion as I came to verse 8 was simply this. Wow. Wow. What do I have in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I wanted to bring it practically to these young men. And so today, we want to look at Ephesians 1, having to do with adoption, and I want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9 has to do with Mephibosheth. And we're going to look at the practical side of it, and how we walk through life sometimes, and we choose, even though we know we've been adopted by the eternal God, by the everlasting God, by the God of light and love, the I Am, the God of Israel, of Jacob, of Abraham, that sometimes we can just choose to say, I don't have enjoyment. I don't enjoy being part of the family of God. Why is that? Is that something that God has done? Has God said, hey, you know what? You've got some sin in your life. You've had struggles that have led you to maybe be a bad testimony where you're at. And you choose to stay there. How do we get out of that? Has God said, I'm gonna put you over here in maybe a timeout? No. No. God has given provision that we can shine. Today we've talked about El didn't get to it. But heirs and joint heirs. What does that mean to us? Imagine what it must have been. Resurrection morning, as Mary came to the tomb, as she saw her resurrected Savior, and he said this to him, go and tell my disciples, my brethren. What an amazing thing that I've ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Why do we not feel sometimes like we're part of the family of God? Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're just going to read through this story very quickly. We're going to look at a practical sense of what it is to be adopted. We're going to look at ourselves being Mephibosheth. And we're going to look about King David as God. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodibar." And the king, then King David, sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth unto Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore, thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth and the young had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet. We're just going to take a look very, very quickly between Ephesians 1 and this portion here in 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want to look first of all at just the idea of what pleases God. We have, if we look at Ephesians chapter 1, what the pleasure, what the will is of God, what the purpose is of God. And it was to save us. Verse 4 has that, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." God has chosen us. He has chosen us to be saved. He's chosen us in his Son before the foundations of the world were laid. What an awesome thing. And you know, I can say that I am thankful that by the grace of God, at the age of 6, he saved me. 6. And we're going to look at 2, because I see younger ones here today. Do you know at the age of 6, everything that I read in Ephesians chapter 1 were mine? Everything. I remember sitting in conferences like this, and sometimes I wasn't very happy because my mom and dad made me come. I thought, what am I doing here? You know what? I could have learned. I could have learned what God had for me. And not my parents. I always thought if I can get to this certain age, or if I can be good enough that I can memorize a good portion of the Bible, then I'll be relevant to God. Then he can use me. Now, if he saved you, he wants to use you right now. But you know, it went beyond that. What was David's desire if we were to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 9? His desire was to show kindness. He had no idea whether there were relatives of Saul and Jonathan. You see, what would have been done is simply this. When a new king took over, he would find all of the descendants of the king who was before him, and he would kill them. That they wouldn't come and take the throne from him. And he had every right to do so. We were in much of the same state before we were saved. We were enemies of God. That's what the Bible says. We might think that's pretty harsh, especially if you're unsaved here today. But the Bible would say you're an enemy of God. But He's pursuing you. David said, I want to seek out any of those that are of the household of Jonathan and of Saul. The message was simply this. I want to go find them. And I want to take them back to Jerusalem. I want to bring them into my palace. And I want to make them as my son. An heir. Amazing. If you were to look at the history, that's absolutely amazing. Verse 5 of Ephesians 1 takes us to that point. You see, God in His sovereignty could have simply said, I'm going to send you all to the lake of fire. But He didn't. He wanted to have a relationship with man. And He saved us. But it could have ended there. He could have let us walk through life simply as people who are saved by His grace and by His mercy through the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 5 says it goes beyond that. He says, oh, I want to adopt you. I want to bring you to the table. I want you to enjoy Ephesians 1. I look at it kind of like this. If there was a huge treasure chest that had all the blessings, and we'll speak of the spiritual blessings in verse 3. Everything that was ever there, it's always open. You know, there's something that you always notice with a treasure chest or a trunk. It always has a big lock on it, doesn't it? It always has a lock. It's always to keep people out. God's treasure chest to His adopted children, it's always wide open. It's always open. He always desires for every person, regardless of your age. When you are saved, He has adopted you. And He says, these treasures, these spiritual blessings, everything that comes as a privilege of being the King's son, the King's daughter, I want you to not just know about them, but to enjoy them. The message went out from King David. Ziba came and said, I know that there is one. It's Jonathan's son. He's Mephibosheth. He's in Lodibar. If we were to look up Lodibar, that wasn't a place that many people wanted to be. It's a place of no rest. It's a place of no green pasture. This morning, Brother William said to us, Matthew 11 and 28, just the opposite of what Lodibar would have been. Here the king sends out a message. The message was predetermined. What does Ephesians say? Before the foundations of the world were laid. Before the king ever knew who Mephibosheth was, the message was predetermined. It says, go and bring him back to the palace. Bring him back to everything that he can enjoy, that I may make him my son. That he may sit at the king's table. The messengers went out. They went to Lodibar. Mephibosheth had a choice to make. You see, at this point in time, we're at Ephesians chapter 4, right in between. Before we open chapter 1 and verse 4, verse 5. And there may be people sitting here today, regardless of your age. And you are sitting in a place of Lodibar. You're sitting in a place of struggle. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's something that's keeping you from serving God the way you know you should. And you say, no, verse 4 is good enough for me. Verse 4 I'm okay with. I know I've been saved. I know I have a place that's in heaven. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to be satisfied there. Oh, what a sad place. What a sad place. Mephibosheth could have said, King David, thank you. Thank you for sparing my life. Thank you for extending to me everything that is yours in Jerusalem. But I'm just going to choose to stay here. I know how to get from Lodibar to Jerusalem. I know how to get to the palace. But I don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I'm good. I'm a person who's lame on my feet. And maybe that's what you're saying today that's holding you back from enjoying adoption. Maybe you're saying there's something about me that's lame. I don't have what it takes. I can't really be everything for God. Al reminded us of amazing men in our past. Strong men, big men that built us up, that encouraged us. And we think, I can't be like them. I'm just going to enjoy salvation and just stay right here in Lodibar. David's purpose for Mephibosheth was so much more. He said, there is no resting place there. There is no green pasture. There's nothing for you to enjoy beyond your life being spared. For each one, John 10 and 10 says what? The Lord Jesus Christ came that we might have life, verse 4? No, that we might have it more, more abundantly, verse 5. Do you enjoy abundant life? Are there days where you say, you know what? Lodibar is all it is for me. I'm stuck here. Maybe you're in college and you found that you haven't raised your flag. You've never stood up and said, I am a Christian, because it's really hard. And you'll go against the flow if you do that. And so you know what? I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to enjoy that I know I'm saved, but I'm going to stay right here in Lodibar. No. There's so much more. Mephibosheth said, I will go. I will go. Mephibosheth got up. He went to Lodibar, and as far as I know, he took his son with him. I don't know who else he took. But Mephibosheth went to Jerusalem. He went to the palace. And we see something here. And maybe if you're the one who feels you're lame on your feet, maybe you're inadequate to be a son or daughter of the living God. The first thing we see Mephibosheth do is what? He drops before the king. He drops to his knees. And he says, O king, I'm not worthy. I am but a dead dog. Does the king say, yes, you're right, Mephibosheth. You're right. And so what I'm going to do for you, you can still stay in the palace, but I'm going to put you down kind of in the dungeon. We're going to take one of the prison cells and we're going to fix it up a little bit for you. And just a little bit. And you can still enjoy some things in the palace. But because you're lame on your feet, because you are as a dead dog, you're just going to enjoy a little bit of it. No. No. God gives provision. When is the last time we've stumbled, we've sinned, and we fully enjoyed 1 John 1 and 9? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The work of the cross was done once. We were reminded of that this morning. The high priest could sit down. The high priest in the Old Testament never sat down. His work was never completed. Christ has sat down. That work is completed. God has looked upon it and said, I am pleased. I am satisfied. Mephibosheth came with a broken heart. Contrite. My biggest defeat in my life is my own pride. And there is time when I stumble. There is times when I fail my Heavenly Father. And my pride says, I can't confess that. I can't confess it. I don't want to admit that I am there. Oh, but the loving Father said, confess it. Bring it before me that we can be restored. The picture of Mephibosheth as he falls before the king. He confesses his position before him. The king says, stand up. Stand up. You're not a dog. It doesn't matter that you're lame on your feet. That maybe you can't speak like the men before you. That maybe you're not a public person to go out and do seed sowers. He said, I have a job for you. Your job is simply this. You're going to be a son of the king. You're going to sit at the table. Have you enjoyed those spiritual blessings? verse 3 of Ephesians 1 tells us this, that we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Spiritual blessings. We are equipped with everything that we need to be children of God walking through this earth. There is not one thing that God didn't say, well, I'm just going to leave this out. It doesn't match your personality. No. No, God says, I want you to be successful. I want you to run the race with confidence. I want you to run the race fully equipped for everything that is before you. I love that it's in heavenly places. That tells me two things personally as I look at them from a practical standpoint. Number one, it doesn't matter where I'm at on earth. I live in Arlington, Washington, in the United States of America. But I can tap into those spiritual blessings because they're not there. They're in heavenly places. I come to Kamloops this week and enjoy fellowship with other brothers and sisters. It's in heavenly places. No matter where I go in this world, I can enjoy those spiritual blessings. The other thing I enjoy practically is this. They're held in heavenly places. Our greatest treasures, the greatest things that we have, we think in the U.S., Fort Knox. That's where our gold is. It doesn't really mean anything today, but it's there. And it's secure. But it can be broken into. It can be taken away. It can be stolen. The spiritual blessings that you and I enjoy as adopted sons and daughters is in heavenly places, secured by God Himself. Are we enjoying them? Are we enjoying everything that God has for us? In verses 8 and 9, I'm out of time. Verses 8 and 9, it speaks of wisdom that we can have. It speaks of understanding that we can have of the plan and the will of God. And again, over and over and over, it says that it is His pleasure. Is it my pleasure? Do I enjoy the things that God wants me to enjoy? Have I fully taken them in? It's a daily struggle. It takes every day, and I stand before you as one who often has to fall and confess my sin. But God is faithful. Verses 8 and 9 tell us about the will of God. Do you know the will of God in your life? He's a real God. He's a God who wants you to understand Him. He's a God who wants you to say, not my will, but your will. Quite often I find myself in situations, there's some situations in life I say, now this one's really difficult, God, and so I'll come to you. And you can help me out with that in my life. But I think I have this one solved. I think I have this one handled. He knows it all. He wants us to bring it all to Him. It brings in the will of the local church. What is His will for this assembly here? I don't know what assembly you're from. But what is God's purpose in you being in that assembly? There's a purpose. It's not because your mom and dad were there. It's not because that's where you were raised. But there's a purpose for you in your local assembly. It's a living, breathing organism. Are you performing what God has placed you there for? Are you being part of that assembly? Are you seeing it grow? Maybe not in numbers. How about love? How about growing in the knowledge of the Scriptures? Your Bible studies. Do you come prepared for them? God says there's a will and a purpose. And He says, I want you to understand them. There's that place of Lodibar. And as I close this morning, I want to ask you, where are you at in your enjoyment? God says, I want you to enjoy it over and over and over again. This phrase touches me. In Christ Jesus. In Him. How's it secured? Is it something we've done? Did we, in our own works, in our own efforts, did we find pleasure in God's sight? Did Mephibosheth do something that David said, oh man, he's a really good guy. He paid his tithe. He came to the kingdom and he was really, really nice. Bring him up. No. No. It's all about what Christ has done. Today it's in Him. Today maybe you're standing in Lodibar. Maybe you're saying that verse 4 of Ephesians 1 is good enough for me.
I know I've been saved. I know I'm going to be in heaven someday. I'm just going to stay right here and be quiet.
You're missing out on so much. So much. You're missing out on adoption. Maybe today you're standing and you...
It's a point in my life where I'd like to stand with one foot in Jerusalem and one in Lodi Bar. And I thought that was okay. I was missing out on enjoyment. I was just living life. I didn't know what it was to have abundant life.
I'm going to share with you before I sit down one story I read of adoption as I looked through the different things of adoption. There was a family, a husband and a wife that lived in Kansas, and they tried and tried to have children. And they never could. And they tried to adopt in the United States, and it was too difficult. And they ended up going to Russia, and they adopted a young boy from Russia. He was 12 or 13 years old, I can't remember. They took them into their home in Kansas, and they told that boy, "You are our son. We love you unconditionally. And everything that is ours is yours." That boy told throughout the story that throughout his life in Russia, going from one government-ran foster home to another, as far as he can remember, he had never been hugged, he had never been touched, he had never been told by anybody that they loved him, ever. And these parents took him into their home and they said, "Everything that is ours is yours and we love you." And that boy, for probably 3 years, would steal from his parents. He would treat them horribly. He would take their vehicles and he would damage them. He partied. He did anything he wanted. And those parents continued to love him. His mother passed away. His father was alive. And at the age of 22, he had taken everything that his father and mother had owned. He had emptied their bank accounts. He had totally destroyed them. He came before his dad. And he sat at their dining room table. And he said, "Dad, what do you think of me now?" His father looked at him. And he said, "Nothing has changed. Everything that you have taken was already yours. We've given it to you. It makes no difference. I still love you. I still love you." Is your heart like that today? Are you one that is enjoying the blessings of God? The things that we all have, saved or unsaved. The air that we breathe, the color that we have, the taste in our palate that allows us to enjoy food in a variety of them. All of these things are given to us by God. And yet we say, "I'm not going to enjoy it." See that young man. Never knew what it was to enjoy being a son of loving parents. Today you sit here. Do you say, "I am a low boy and I'm fine"? I can move. God's good pleasure, His will, is that you would enjoy the adoption. You would enjoy being His sons and His daughters. Today you have that opportunity. Step out of the place that you're in. Dig into the Word of God. Come to the treasure chest that is open for you, full of His spiritual blessings that He wants to pour out on you. Enjoy them. Enjoy the adoption that you have because of the Lord Jesus Christ.